Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 27th of November, recording at 8:54 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights today. The Asian stock markets were mostly down a bit, but not all that much. And actually, Japan was one of the stronger performers. That has been steadying recently. And the European markets closed with mostly small declines, although I see Amsterdam and Switzerland were just fractionally into the plus column. And, excuse me, Wall Street has rebounded in here today. Dow currently up 208 points. So Wall Street has regained not all of yesterday's decline, but most of it, which is interesting. The banks are a little bit steadier, but remain the problem. Now, in government bonds, we have seen some profit-taking in here, hardly surprising following the U.S. market's acceleration yesterday on the upside, and the 30-year bond is currently down 1.5 points. And we saw lesser weakness, small declines in the bond prices for Europe and also Japan. The oil price has weakened quite sharply in here today, down $3.15 as I speak. That brings the WTI crude back to $94.55, still very much within its range. That has weighed on the precious metals along with a rally in the dollar today. And gold is currently down 13.5 at 8.11.10. And we see similar weakness in the other precious metals. The dollar index is currently up at 75.085. That's up 226 ticks. So small rally in here today against the euro. For instance, euro has slipped back to 148.33. Dollars rallied up to 110.49 against the Swiss franc. And the dollar has rallied to 108.85 against the yen. And among industrial metals, mostly down a little bit, with tin slightly firmer. And grains and beans mixed. Wheats are showing strength, small declines in the beans and corn. Okay, so, excuse me, what's going on here overall? Well, we still have very nervous stock markets in the West. That is largely due to, I think, the shadow pall even caused by the credit problems involving the banks in particular. Those trends, as I've said on a number of occasions, look overextended. I suspect that the better banks, in terms of hopefully less subprime-related problems and good dividend cover, a number of those will be among the European banks, appear attractive, but the bottom-picking game is a little bit hazardous, and one may well need patience, and there's no confirmation that we've seen the actual reaction lows. But as I said, the activity has looked climactic, and they are back at interesting levels. With a pistol at my head, I'd be a buyer rather than a seller, but I'm happy to watch and wait. And in terms of Asia, which has shown a lot of relative strength, the negative point, though, which has weighed on markets a bit, has been the performance of China's A shares and B shares. Because they have seen a bigger correction than at any time since that important low in 2005, and since the very strong recovery actually began. Now, what's interesting is that it's been an orderly retreat, and looking at the Shanghai A shares and B shares, and I'm posting them in comment today, they have worked their way back a lot closer to that rising 200-day moving average. Now, the intriguing question is, will a premise of mine, a long-standing premise of mine, first mentioned it at least a couple of years ago, that I felt that China would have a pretty good run right through, or that one would be reasonably safe in China, through to the August Olympics. A lot of people have disagreed with that and felt China would weaken beforehand, but it certainly has weakened in the last couple of months, retracing a small proportion of those very, very strong gains. But again, my premise is that China will want one of the world's top performing stock markets going into those August Olympics. Can it help to engineer that? I certainly think so. It could make some favorable comments about the stock market as it's done before in terms of correcting a lot of the overheating. China could even lower short-term interest rates somewhat if it wanted to. Yes, there's inflation in China, but it's all entirely food inflation, and as I've stressed over and over again, that the food price inflation is not something that monetary policy is going to cure, not unless every central bank is determined to throw the world into a severe recession, and of course that would be suicidal. So I think if we don't get a year-end rally in China, I think we'll get some steadying up before the new year, or shortly before the end of calendar year 2007, and or shortly thereafter. We will see, as they say. India has shown phenomenal relative strength. It's a little bit of an Indian rope trick. Can it continue to do this? Because it is still quite high relative to its MA. Well, I wouldn't write off those prospects, but we've got some important psychological levels overhead. 6,000 for the Nifty, 20,000 for the Sensex index. But again, India is not the problem here overall. What India has shown is how it has become a much more important stock market in most people's eyes, and I think quite rightly so. The problem is, of course, all the credit problems emanating from Wall Street, and that have certainly spread contagion into Europe. But one of the points that I was making is that I've often talked about the two leash effects, the coming from Wall Street, and that's of course been negative, although it's not negative today. But overall, it's been certainly negative since those upside failures by the Dow and S&P. In the middle of October, and the banks have been hugely negative for quite some time. And China, though, had a leash effect, which was helping the Asian markets, but of course China has been in retreat recently, so that's left Asia, a little bit more vulnerable. But again, impressive the way most of these markets have held up. Veteran subscribers will remember the days when Asia was enormously high beta, so we'd expect it to outperform on the upside more often than not. But then it fell much, much further than Wall Street during the corrections. Well, that's no longer the case here. As for Wall Street, again, a lot of people talking about Richard Russell's call of a Dow Theory sell signal. Well, we still have the rising lows in the S&P and the Dow. And we have seen a correction of what, just a tiny bit over 10%. So that barely qualifies as a correction, in my definition. Yes, we have a broadening pattern. We also see that in Europe. And so there's a big loss of overall upward momentum, for the indices. But it's too soon to talk about a bear market at this stage, in my view. And I've written about this a little bit in today's comment, but if you want to look for if you want to find a bear market, it's not difficult. Look at the banks, look at the property shares, look at the house building shares. If you want to find bull markets, they're there, from the Middle East to India and some other parts of Asia, Brazil. If you want to find corrections and some worryingly toppy patterns, there are plenty of them in Europe. But it's a mixed picture here overall. One factor that is hugely important, and I've illustrated this in my analysis, is that it would be very unusual to get a across the boards bear market for these indices, with the bond yields having moved down so much. In other words, with bond prices being so strong. I put in a comparison chart in comment of the day, showing the S&P and the US 30-year Treasury bond futures prices. The futures prices for bonds are usually a lead indicator, and you'll see that quite reliably throughout the bull run that we've seen to date. And if you went back and looked at it throughout history, you'd see a lot more of that. What the skeptics would say on this is, well, the bond markets this time are discounting deflation and a real recession, which will nail corporate profits. Well, they've got a point, but while the global economy is still synchronized in a period of economic expansion, I think it's premature to say that we have a major recession risk. I mean, the U.S. will skirt close to a recession, as we know. Although Bernanke could certainly prevent that if he moved in and cut rates. My biggest concern, as you know, is that the central banks, particularly the Fed, in terms of its importance, also the UK, they're behind the curve of events in here and should be cutting rates. I think the ECB should be cutting rates as well. Now, it's inconceivable of me, to me, that we will not get some interest rate cuts next month from both the Fed and the Bank of England. But if they go 25 basis points, they're still behind the curve of events. I feel they should go 50, but the odds probably favor 25%. You can never be sure with central banks. And government bonds, say, will continue to take their cue from the stock market. That does not contradict my point that they are an important lead indicator for stock markets, but so are the banks. The banks need to do something better, and that will require some aggressive central bank action to really put a sustainable floor underneath the banks, which continue to look overstretched, and the activity has been climactic, as I've said on many occasions. And in terms of gold and other precious metals, choppy in this consolidation, which is likely to continue for a little while longer. The US dollar will have to take out those lost little rally highs, that very small little rally highs that you saw earlier in the month, to indicate anything more than a brief pause in its overall downtrend, rather than come up with a heavy opinion one way or the other. I could envisage either result, in other words, the dollar continuing weaker or the dollar rallying sufficiently to enjoy a medium-term recovery, probably at least a few weeks and perhaps a few months. Currently, of course, the dollar still remains barely steady in its overall downward trend. So I'll back that the hypothesis of the weaker dollar until or unless I see it take out that last little rally high. The U.S. dollar index would be a good benchmark for that. And if that were to happen, that would create a little bit more headwind for the precious metals. There's some big bullish forecasts out there for precious metals. I think they're right, but they are probably not going to be achieved anywhere near as quickly as a lot of people would hope. I've posted a little clip that came in from Christopher Wood talking about gold moving above $3,000, before the end of the decade. I think that's probably an inflation-adjusted forecast, comparing it with what we saw back in 1980. I think he'll be right on the price, but wrong on the date. I think it'll take longer for that to actually happen. Grains and beans. It looks like wheat's leading the way up. The subscriber who's often emailed grain comments says the real drama will occur when the USDA provides the year-end assessment of the crops, and he's quite bullish. And I think that's pretty much it. So, all the best until tomorrow, when Owen will be doing the comment. I've got a seminar during the morning, and I also have a function in the evening, although I will be contributing something to comment of the day. Meanwhile, all the very best.